back, everybody. Thanks for sticking around. This will be a fun one. Adam Kinzinger joins us, esteemed congressman, good friend. Continuing on that discussion about, you know, kind of where the GOP's head is at, I read a book also from John Boehner, who I think the world of that guy, and obviously him better than I do, but I from what I got from him, he seems to be a really good person, strong moral compass and all that stuff. But he was always a no-nonsense person that wanted to do the right thing, and his book describes how the GOP sunk into a really dark place. Obviously, you saw that too. You know, what is it like seeing people like, you know, you reference Elise Stefanik in your book, and she was someone that was normal. And we had, I had Michael Steele on a month or so ago, and he said that the GOP is a lost cause. He's right.
Yeah, look, first off about Boehner, he is really one of the greatest guys. And what's interesting, so when he got elected, he was a radical. Okay.
Yes.
This goes to show how the party changes.
Yes.
He was a radical.
Then they hated him.
Then he ends up becoming the establishment. Yes. He didn't change. And then our class of 2010, people like me and Sean Duffy from your area, and I think Reed Ribble.
I love Reed.
He's great. We get elected in the class of 2010. We're the radicals all of a sudden. And then we end up becoming the establishment. And then the you know, Scott Perry's come along. They're the radicals. And then it's Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
And so you see that it's not that we change. I mean, there's this perception that you go to D.C. and then you become some freaking establishment hack. No, we stayed the same. I still believe generally the same stuff I believed when I was elected. The party has gotten increasingly radical. And so watching people like Elise Stefanik, who, by the way, what I was going to say about Boehner is he's able to pull people that had behavioral issues, right? Maybe they were cheating with their wife or they were drinking too much, and he'd sit them in the office and scold them. You don't have a speaker that does that anymore, which is why you have so many scandals coming out of the House GOP. It's incredible. But when somebody like Elise Stefanik, you know, who goes from being this moderate wunderkind, who's going to be the person in the image of Paul Ryan who saves the GOP, literally change overnight, and she changed because she was part of the impeachment, and she came out probably with conscience and defended Donald Trump in the first impeachment, but then went on Twitter and saw that all of a sudden she is being embraced by Donald Trump and all his minions, and Donald Trump embraced her, and that is the toxicity. Look, I've gone into the White House with Trump. I'll tell you, he's one of the most charismatic people you'll meet one-on-one. And I saw firsthand what he would try to do to win you over. He would tell me, Adam, I see you on TV. You're so good on TV. And what he's trying to do is feed your ego, but also tell you, I'm watching. And it's really easy then to just embrace Trumpism, because now all of a sudden it's easier and you get the accolades. And that's what these people do. And it goes to show there's no real soul there. There's no real red line there. And I just don't know what the job is worth if you're not going to go for a reason. If the purpose is yourself, it's hollow.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was watching him speak at struggled to speak at the National Prayer Breakfast today. And he was talking about how, you know, we need to come together and do all these things. It's like you have the only coming together that he is interested in is you believing what I do and you doing what I want to do, you know, and there's right. And so I don't understand. I mean, I think the GOP is totally gone. What happens here?
Yeah. Look, I think it's gone. I think if you quantum leap, one of my favorite shows in the 90s version of quantum leap.
Okay.
If you quantum leap, you know, 20 years forward, I think you may find a GOP that's kind of back to normal. But I don't think that comes anytime soon. I think the thing the Republican Party is going to have to experience is crushing defeat.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, the Democrats, at least as of today, don't appear to be the opposition party that can deliver a crushing defeat. I mean, look, the fact is, I'm going to go off on a tangent, but give me 2 seconds.
Please.
For the last 10 days, you know, or a few days ago, for the prior 10 days, the House Democrats were at home in their district. While this constitutional crisis was going on, they should have come back to D.C. and made demonstrations, tried to get into buildings that they were being locked out of. Look, when you're in the minority, your one weapon is your message.
Yep.
That is it. And so the Republican Party has got to feel crushing defeats. They have to recognize that the majority of the country rejects them. And then naturally, they'll come back to where you need to be to win 51%. But as long as this anger, this division, this grievance politics works, which won't work forever, but as long as it does, the Republican Party is unfixable. And the real question is, you know, is there going to be a centrist party? That's tough to do. I would love to see it.
Yeah.
But the Democrats, will you accept conservatives or moderates in your party? That's a question for them. I can't answer that.
And I, you know, I can speak from experience on that. And I have been, you know, accepted by them. And they've been very, you know, open about the fact that, hey, yeah, you might be a little more, because I always describe myself as a fiscal conservative with a social conscience. I believe in marriage equality. I always did. I believe in, women's right to choose, but fiscally, you know, if we're operating the my business like the federal government, I'm out of business. So you have to be a fiscal conservative, right?
Yep.
So they've been very open and welcoming. But I want to talk about that constitutional crisis that's going on with an unelected richest man in the world taking over. Like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. Look, here's the big key. When people say, like, oh gosh, you're against, you know, finding waste in government. No, that is a red herring. That's not true. Or that's a straw man, right?
Yep.
We're all for, I voted for almost probably every bill that had, let's go through the federal government with a fine tooth comb and save money. First off, the area of the federal government that Congress actually appropriates is like 20% of the total budget, okay? Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, interest on the debt, veterans payments, stuff that we don't have control over is about 80%. So let's be clear at what you're going to get out of here. But, you know, secondarily, there is no law that allows an unelected dude to come in with his 20-year-old kids and start to expose payments and misinformation and lies. You know, there's an example about Politico. They claim that USAID gave Politico $8 million to spread misinformation around Europe. Complete lie. In fact, it's $8 million over 10 years from the entire federal government, of which my office paid $10,000 a year for, the speaker's office as well, and it was for access to a legislative database called Politico Pro. And by the way, the government legitimately getting those services also legitimately gives, by the way, billions to SpaceX and to Tesla in the terms of subsidies. So why isn't Doge going through, Doge, a fake agency, by the way, why isn't it going through those contracts with a fine tooth comb? We know the answer. So they're creating this look over here at the so-called scandal that isn't, while they actually do their corruption over here. And that's what we have to be aware of and cut through the noise. They're going to throw out, you know, as a military pilot, there's something called chaff.
Yeah.
You blow out those aluminum strips and it confuses the radar. That's what they're doing right now. They're dropping chaff. We need to look through that and see the real target.
Yeah, and I want to. We got about 10 seconds left here before the break, but I want to go over that a little bit, and then I want to talk about, you know, your organization and what you're doing, and as well as some of the stuff that's happening in places overseas like Ukraine that I know you're really passionate about, because that we need to know what's going on about that and why it matters. So yeah, we got to cut through the chaff and and figure out the truth here. So we're here with Adam Kinzinger on the Rational Revolution, and we will be back right after this.